question was what?
What does one do to substitute, you know, for the liturgy and all that we're accustomed to? You know, to bring it up to date. What did they do, like, in back in history when the when we had antipopes and then the church, you know, got back on the track? What did they do then?
Well, in the history, when you had certain periods of antipopes, you almost always had another true pope reigning, or you had a set of cardinals who could elect the true pope.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't as dire a situation as we're in now.
Uh-huh.
This is unique because the antipope was basically, quote, elected and received the recognition from all of the, quote, cardinals, and took over all of the buildings, and so basically the whole structure of Rome was taken over by the antipope, and you don't have a situation where, unless, you know, God intervenes and all of the cardinals of the Vatican II Church are wiped out, you're going to have antipopes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this crisis is unprecedented from that standpoint, and that's really why one must say that we're in the last days, because it's a unique situation we're in.
I know it. It's pretty sad, very sad.
But the church still exists, and this is predicted to happen. That's why Our Lady of La Salette says Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. And so, but it's something where it's not like, I mean, we're near the second coming of Christ. That's shown not just from what's happening in Rome, but from the standpoint of gay marriage, you know,
everything.
Yeah, homosexuality being accepted everywhere, basically, so that you almost cannot criticize it. Evolution, which is a complete myth, is taught as fact everywhere. You can't even basically almost get a job teaching. Yeah, and so all of these are signs that time is short, and we're in the final spiritual tribulation here, the great apostasy. And that's why all of this spiritual deception is happening. So it's something where that's why it's so critical to act upon this information and see, like, the first rule of salvation is to hold the true Catholic faith whole and undefiled. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you tend towards some traditional things or even do some devotional things. If you don't have the fullness of the traditional Catholic faith, it won't help you save your soul in the end. So that's why it's critical for you to stop going to the new mass. Where do you live? You're in California?
I live in the high desert in California.
Hmm.
I live in San Bernardino County. And
well, are you committed to never attending the new mass again?
Well, I don't think of it that way. I just want to learn all I can.
So you're not yet committed to not attending?
Yeah, because that's it. I need to talk to somebody.
Talk to who?
You know, like a priest or someone.
A Novus Ordo priest?
No, one of the real priests.
Who's that?
That's a good question.
What I'm saying to you is, see, you're too much of a follower of man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're not enough a follower of God and the teaching of the Church. It doesn't matter what any priest says. If he tells you you can go to the new mass, he's telling you a lie. Okay? We can prove from the teaching of the Church that it's not a valid mass, in addition to the fact that it's a Protestant service which was invented by Protestants. It was invented to try to destroy and modernize the mass. The fruits of it are horrible. The practices that go on there are sacrilegious and not traditional. Communion in the hand, altar girls, Eucharistic ministers. Okay, so I don't care if 50,000 priests tell you that it's fine. You'll just follow those priests to hell.
That's about the size of it. Well, no, I don't plan to do that.
But what I'm saying to you is that's the thing. I mean, you're going to hear from us what the Church has taught and what you need to know. Okay.
Well, have you developed any kind of a liturgy or some set prayers or things that a person could kind of develop their own, prayer life at home, you know, and not, you know, get away from this other thing. You know what I mean?
You mean?
See, if we don't have any valid priesthood, we can't rely on any of that stuff anymore because.
Well, the only thing that it deprives you of is receiving Holy Communion. Okay, which obviously there might be an option for you. I'd have to check, but first you'd have to indicate that you're totally committed to not attending the new Mass ever again. Okay, because if you're not committed on that point, then you're not yet in a position where you're ready to receive the sacraments. You're not yet a true committed traditional Catholic.
So in other words, the list that we get of the, where they are praying the Latin Mass and all that, that's not a good list then, right?
No, there may be some options there that are valid and acceptable from the standpoint of receiving the sacraments. But,
yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is, I don't know if you're getting the point, that you're not able to receive the sacraments to your benefit until you believe in everything the Church teaches and are committed to rejecting heresy. And if you're still not convinced that you can't attend the new Mass, then you haven't yet made that commitment.
Well, it's just like a habit, you know what I mean? Just a habit, formality you go through, sort of, type thing.
Well, what I'm saying is, then your problem is with your faith.
Yeah.
Because if you really believe that it's invalid, do you understand what that means?
Yes,
that means
I do, and it's pretty, quite a thing. You stop to think about it, it's really something. Because before we knew that there was that they had gone against traditional things in the church and all of that, but at the same time there were voices out there that you kind of felt there was hope, but now you can see there is no hope, not for the way it is now.
No, there is hope, absolutely hope.
No, I mean there is no hope for the way it is now. Like you said, you have to kind of dump it,
Well, yeah, there's no hope in the counterfeit church, and there's no hope in the counterfeit Mass.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, and so, but here's the thing.
But we don't have a chance to have the real thing, because there's no...
Well, but what I'm saying is the Mass, okay, and is not the end-all, be-all. It's something where you can save your soul without going to Mass. There were Catholics in history who didn't have sacraments. Japanese Catholics for many, many decades had no sacraments to receive. Okay, popes would put cities under interdict at certain periods of time so that no sacraments could be administered anywhere in that area. St. Isaac Jogues, he was a missionary to the heathen in North America, and he was captured by the Iroquois. He couldn't say Mass for many, many months. He couldn't do anything. He could hear confessions, but he couldn't receive sacraments himself at all. Okay, so he didn't stop being a Catholic. And
that's
so
right.
A lot of people today have the idea that Catholicism is simply where you show up at church on Sunday. And that's a very shallow...
That's about it. That's true.
Because they're just Sunday Catholics. That's the problem. Because it's something where it's not about living the faith every day. It's not about, growing spiritually, getting to know God or the faith more deeply. It's not about praying and doing what you have to do to maintain the state of grace to be saved. It's simply about showing up at a building, period.
Yeah.
And that kind of mentality is not a mentality which will suffice for salvation.
I know it, and it gets kind of inhospitable sometimes, because I know people, they have an area there in our church where people could leave literature and stuff, and I had left some of those. I bought a box of those books on Padre Pio, and I thought I would just, kind of contribute that. And then all of a sudden they said that Father had to okay everything. And
yeah.
I said, where does he get time for this,
Well, we...
He's supposed to be so busy, you don't have time for anything.
They don't accomplish anything. Yeah, they're so busy.
I know, and I thought, how could he... I just don't understand that. That's being really, really controlling,
Well, whenever it's anything traditional or of value, then they'll definitely keep an eye out for that. But if it's something, promoting...
Well, the bad part is that you call in and you can't really find out. The only thing to do, I think, is just to gather some of my Catholic literature, and for better or for worse, and just go over there and tell them to look at it and tell me if that's something like that would hurt people, Catholics, to look through, to read about, A lot of that is news, Some of it is actually news. And and see what he says, because I've noticed there's not anything there. So where's all the stuff that he's reviewing? That's what I want to know. That he's supposed to be looking through and then, approving what's okay and, It's also mysterious.
Well, we appreciate you distributing those, but
yeah, but you see, now I'm stuck with a whole. Oh, I'll find other places, you know, to leave them and give them to people. But I'm saying that was going to be my main, you know, place to. I thought I'd just leave like, you know, 50 or 100 every so often, you know. But if they're just going to get them and throw them away, you know.
Yeah, it's a waste then.
Yeah, I know it. So it's getting, you know, kind of an uncomfortable situation.
Well, but here's the thing. Do you really believe that the new mass is invalid?
Well, now that you put it that way, yes, I do. I believe it's invalid. But the thing is,
okay,
we've been fighting it for so long and,
well, no,
and
but
nobody knew what was going on.
But if you really believe that it's invalid, then do you really believe in the church's teaching that it's a mortal sin to attend an invalid sacrament? Or approach an invalid sacrament.
Yeah, yes, I do. I do believe.
Okay, if you really believe that it's invalid, and you really believe that it's a mortal sin to approach an invalid sacrament, then how could you possibly go?
Well, that's just.
You must not believe one of the two. You
no,
must
I'm
not.
In, like I said, I'm in a very uncomfortable position. That's all I can.
But it doesn't make any sense. What I'm saying to you is, you must not be convinced it's invalid. If you really believe nothing's there, it's just bread. It's just a Protestant service. That's all it is.
Yeah,
if you
well,
really.
It, well, it would help is if you know if I had other people to share this with. You know, and just, not as far as you know. I mean, you know. It's,
well, like I said again, you're going back to. What other people think.
Yeah.
Who cares what other people think?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the common theme here, that with all the points I've brought up, you've said, well, I've got to share this with others, talk to others, and see what others think. And see, what I'm saying to you is most people go to hell, and especially today, even more people go to hell. That's why Jacinta said, Lucia one time asked Jacinta what she was thinking about, and she said about the war that would come. She was talking about World War II.
Uh-huh.
And she said so many people would die, and almost all of them would go to hell. Okay, that was pre-Vatican.
They would go to hell because?
Because they didn't care. They're of bad will. They don't really care about the faith. They're not
yeah.
really interested. Most people are liars
yes.
at heart.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I become very conscious of that.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying to you is, you have to act upon the truth. And there are many, many people who, today who are responding to the truth and are of goodwill, even in, if in comparison to the whole of humanity, it's a tiny number. But what I'm saying to you is, if you really believe that the new mass is invalid, and you really believe that it's a mortal sin to approach an invalid sacrament, you would have to admit you're committing mortal sin when you go.
Yeah, well, as I said, I feel very uncomfortable.
But do you believe you're committing mortal sin?
Well, I think, I don't know, I just don't feel that it's a mortal sin to go.
But you just said you do believe in the church's teaching that it's
invalid. Yeah, I do, but when you talk about the church's teaching, you know, that's synonymous with talking about the church as we know it today, you know. It's almost synonymous. People don't know the difference, you know. And it's like a mental thing, you know. And that's why I say if I could find something else to substitute for it, you know, like maybe a real church and a real
priest. Well, see, that's what a lot of people say. They say, if I had another place to go, then
yeah,
I would stop going.
Otherwise, there's no replacement.
Well, see, that no, because then it's all about what building you're showing up at.
Or, yeah, that's right. That's true.
And that's a heretical, non-Catholic mentality. You have
and
to be committed to the faith.
You take the position where you have to, you know,
you have to be committed.
Contrary.
Right.
What everybody else is doing.
Well, no. The position is that you can't go to a false mass under any circumstances, even if you had nowhere else to go. So it can't be like, well, I'd go to the true one if I had the true one, but if not, I'm going to go to this one. No,
that's
you.
That's the whole point. We don't have one.
Right. And so in that case, you'd have to stay home.
And so in the scriptures, when Christ talks about his church and everything, you wonder, well, what is he talking about then? You know, if these are this is not the right one anymore, you know, this is wrong now.
No, the church, he's talking about the one church he set up. But that one church which he established, which will exist till the end of time and still exists, is not present, okay, in the diocesan structure. It resides in that remnant of traditional Catholics who maintain the one holy Catholic faith of all time. It doesn't reside with those who go along with this Vatican II church. And that's what you have to realize. But what I'm saying to you is you've contradicted yourself.
That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to emphasize from Scripture, you know, where this holds up.
No, but you don't have to prove it just from Scripture.
Well, you have to have something.
You have to prove it from the teaching of the church.
That's what I mean.
Right.
That's the Scripture.
Scripture, no. Scripture is one source.
Scripture. If you're going to knock the church out prior to, everything before the Vatican II, you know.
No, Scripture is one source of revelation, okay? Do you understand that we receive what we believe from the teaching of the church, okay, which in turn tells us what is revealed in Scripture and tradition? Okay, so it's not just Scripture. That's Protestantism.
No, it's not just Scripture, but also we are not supposed to, it's not supposed to contradict Scripture, so to speak.
Of course, but the church's teaching does not contradict Scripture. The church's
teaching. So, where in Scripture and tradition can we show that this path that we're taking is the correct one? You know.
That's what our material proves. It proves that the popes. That's why Jesus gave the authority to Saint Peter and his successors. Because they teach us, okay, his revelation without erring.
That's correct.
Okay, and so when we quote Pope Eugene IV at the Council of Florence, when he declared what words constitute the form of consecration,
mm-hmm.
That's what we must believe. And when we see that the new Mass does not have those words of consecration, we know it's false.
Well, then that would be the way to go. We have to
right, and that's what is covered in our DVD.
Well, we have always known that change, that they made it in the words of the Mass and all that was not right. But I guess people never thought of it as, you know, being total heresy and you know, that, you know, the church is out and, you know, stuff like that. It never went that far, you know what I mean?
Well, some people did.
There was somebody to tell us.
Yeah, there are some people saying this. What I'm saying to you is they're people, but it's something where when you see the facts, you're not really grasping the facts here. That
well, the fact is that the Mass is just, you know, it's not correct.
Well, right, and we're not making that up. We're not issuing a private judgment here.
Yeah.
We're determining that because the Church has taught that you need certain things for a valid Mass. Okay, and this service doesn't have them. It's that
That's
simple.
Correct. And what about all the other things that they've done during the Mass? And, you know, you go to Mass at different parishes, because, like, I go over there where my mother lives in San Fernando, and I go here, and sometimes I go with my friends to some other place, you know. And they're all different, you know. They're just, everything is, the music is you know, so far out that I can't hardly... You know, it's not like the kind that, you know, that we grew up with where, you know, it was very, very spiritual, you know. And
well, yeah.
And church, they clap over every little thing. It's so distracting, you know.
It's there's no holiness because it's...
Yeah.
It's
and you never see a sign anymore. We have a fairly new, beautiful church, and I remember seeing not that long ago about, you know, silence is the house of God. All that's gone.
Right, but what I'm saying to you is that if you don't believe that you have to get out of there, that's because... Well, I would look at those facts, and I don't know if... Do you know what dogma is?
Who?
Do you know what dogma is?
Dogma? Oh, yes, the teachings of the church.
And how do we know where we get a dogma or what a dogma is?
Well, we have to go to the prior Vatican, Second Vatican II, and the Scriptures.
Well, no, what specifically do we have to go to?
I would say the Bible.
No, we have to go to the teaching of the popes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay, see, that's what I'm saying. This is the heart of the problem here, the reason why you're not understanding. Okay, the teaching of the popes is where we find what we have to believe. The authoritative teaching of the popes and their encyclicals and their bulls and the councils, okay, that's what constitutes the teaching of the church, which we must believe. Okay, that which has been passed down and declared by the magisterium, that's the teaching authority of the church, which is possessed by the Roman pontiff.
That's
okay, because
that's what they're doing right now.
That's what who's doing right now?
that's what they talk about, that the Pope is doing, the magisterium, this and that. Nobody differentiates.
No. We can prove that these guys, according to the teaching of the popes, cannot be true popes, okay? That they contradict what all the true popes throughout history have taught. That's a fact. We prove it. That's why you need to look at that material we have.
Well, it's just that, I guess, I have it, sir. I've heard all of it. I need to go back and hear it again.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is you're in a spiritual fog. I'm just telling you that in charity. You're in a spiritual fog. You're not grasping the points.
So what happened to all the other prelates that were present? How come there were a few, I think, who objected? How could everybody accept all this heresy?
Because, like I said, we're in evil times. Most people are of bad will. Why did basically all of the bishops go, except for one in England, go along with King Henry VIII and his Protestant revolt?
That's right. That's a very good example.
Yeah, and his schismatic revolt,
Look what it did to them. And you wonder, you know, you just wonder why, you know, that these things didn't happen. We don't know.
Well, we do.
They bring them on themselves. You bring things on yourself because you allow things to happen.
Yeah, so what I'm saying to you is you have to understand that the light that God has given us, the way we know whether something is true or not, is whether it's in line with the traditional dogmatic teaching of the Church, which is given to us from the popes. Okay, they tell us what is contained in the true content, the true teaching of Scripture and tradition. And so that's how you know what we're saying is true, because we're basing what we're saying on the infallible teachings of the popes. That can't be wrong. To say that that can be wrong is heretical.
Yes.
And so if you don't understand papal infallibility, magisterial teaching, etc., and those things are covered in the introduction to our big yellow book.
Yes.
I would look at that. Then
the big yellow book, is that the one about outside the church?
No. That's the truth about what really happened to the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah. I have that.
Okay,
no, I have not read that one.
Or if you look in the beginning,
uh-huh,
the first 10 pages or so,
mm-hmm,
there's a glossary of terms. Okay, which explains some of these basic concepts and terms about magisterium, dogma, ex cathedra. These are critical things to understand.
Yes, sir. Okay, you understand those. You know what they mean.
Yeah, you have
but
to know.
How do you differentiate between what was true before, and at what point did it become false? You know.
When did we stop following what the so-called Pope says?
Apply?
Well, that's what our material proves.
That's all current stuff, and nobody doesn't realize it. It doesn't apply, you know, after a certain time.
Yes, we point out it's only after Vatican II.
That's what I mean. That's what you need to
Because that's what our whole material gets into. It proves that these men who have claimed to be popes reject, okay, what all of the true popes,
yeah,
and councils have taught.
Okay, well, that's going to be a must reading then.
And so that's why they prove themselves not to hold any real authority in the Church. They prove themselves to be not believers in the Catholic faith. And if you're not a believer, you can't be a leader in the Catholic Church. And so, but that's all covered in the material. I would check that out.
When I tell people, you know, like some of the things you've itemized, you know, the heresies, you know, that they have practiced, they just can't believe it. Their eyes get real big.
Well, it's
they're not aware that, you know, things like, you know, oh, well, John Paul II, I was on to him, you know, early on. I mean, but the thing is, when he started embracing these people all over the world and their religions. And
well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that John Kerry, you know who he is, right?
Do I believe what?
Do you know who John Kerry is?
Yes.
Do you believe he's Catholic?
Not a real Catholic, maybe just a name.
Okay, well, do you believe he's part of the Church of Christ or not?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He's a fallen away Catholic.
Right. When you reject a teaching of the Church, you cease to be part of the Church. You understand that concept, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the same thing applies to priests and bishops and even a so-called Pope. And so John Paul II, who was much more heretical than Kerry, he excommunicated himself.
I know it. I just can't believe. I used to tell people, you know, I wish he'd retire. I think he's getting senile. Or maybe somebody is influencing him or something.
Well, the devil was.
I don't know who it was. Maybe it was just the devil. You
right,
know?
That's right.
I just and now that they refer to him as, you know, John Paul the Great. And
so you can understand then.
It's just ridiculous.
So you can understand then why these Vatican II guys are not true popes, that they've excommunicated themselves. You can understand that concept.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so when you asked, how do we know which, quote, popes to follow? Well, we're proving to you that these post-Vatican II, quote, popes, because they reject the teachings of the church, they're not real popes. All right, and so you do not heed their teaching because they're not even part of the church. You heed what the popes have always taught throughout history, the one consistent message of the Catholic faith for 20 centuries, and that message and that faith and that papal teaching tells us that there's certain things you need for a valid Mass, and this new Mass doesn't have them.
No, it's...
So that's why it's very simple why one should be able to see why you can't go. I mean, also, Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. And so that's why the fruits of this thing are just atrocious. But all of that's covered in our material. I would check that out.
Okay, well, I'll look it over. Have any...
But I would start praying the rosary each day, because it's something where if you do that, especially more than just 5 decades, then you'll get the grace to see what's going on if you do it sincerely.
Yeah, I know. Prayer is very powerful. And anyway, so then, you know, trying to, like, for instance, we're supposed to go to confession, this and that. Well, if they're not true priests, how can they hear your confession? You know?
Well, there are some true priests out there, some validly ordained priests who could hear your confession. But like I said, first you have to be a committed Catholic. You have to be totally convinced on all these issues, and you have to be committed not to attend the new Mass again.
Is there going to be some kind of a central information system or some place that people would go to and get this information, like where these priests are, where they can see them, or what?
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, we have, you know, our material so that people know what they need to know. I mean, that's basically...
In other words, if you can't go to confession, then you've got to make like a spiritual confession without the benefit of a priest?
As I said, there are places to go to confession. Okay, there are priests who are validly ordained in the traditional rite that you could go to for confession. But you have to first be committed on all the issues. You can't go, otherwise you're going to make a sacrilegious confession. If you're still going to go back to the new Mass, or you still accept heretics as part of the church, or you still accept, you know, this Vatican II religion, then you're not ready to make a good confession. And so you have to believe. Faith is the key. Okay, you must have faith, whole and undefiled, before you receive the sacraments of benefit.
Well, it's just like there's just so many questions, you know, that come up when you listen to this, what you're saying, you know, and it's just a person like you that just has to, you know, go over the material and just make up your mind, you know, which way
have
to
you
go, and the only way is just not to go, which is what I did for a long time, and I, you know, I just felt guilty about it.
Have you, listen to all those audios on the MP3 or not?
Yeah, just about all of them. I need to go back and listen to them again. I shared what I had. I shared with my, you know, my friends that I have, and I try to share everything I have because it's not doing any good sitting on a shelf here.
Well.
But I need to listen to it again. You know.
Yeah, you do.
So anyway, well, thank you, brother. I really appreciate all this, and I'm going to have to get on the internet, and you know.
Okay.
How long a there's also like a radio type thing available.
Well, yeah, we have like the archive programs are on that MP3 disc you have.
Yeah, that's on the radio on the internet.
Yeah, we also have other audio programs. You'll see their links to it.
Well, that's what I want to find out more about.
But
I can just refer to people. Just it seems nowadays that's what everybody says. Oh, well, just get on the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've always hated dealing with a machine, you know, but.
Yeah.
I guess it's important sometimes that's the best way a person could get, you know, something like this.
Yeah.
I don't care much for purchases and things like that, you know.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I would check the information.
Listen, thank you very much, and I hope I get those. And how long should I wait for them before I follow up in case I don't?
Yeah,
I will.
You know, if you don't get them within 3 weeks, let us know.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I played your, you know, the last one I got, the MP3 number 2.
Uh-huh.
I just played that and listened to that as carefully as I could. I'm telling you, there's a...
Well, you need to listen to that DVD on the new Mass.
Yeah, I'm going to go back. Yeah, I'm glad you directed me to that. Okay, I will.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.